Thank you, Lord. Thank you for another day. It's cold outside, but we live in a wonderful world where we can be warm inside, at least if we get the heat on soon enough. Thank you for all that you've given us. Thank you for your excellent provision. Lord, open our hearts as we study your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. A few weeks ago, I think it was just earlier this week, I had a brief conversation with someone who was asking me why the church didn't emphasize the Lord's name more, that not many people seem to know that the Lord's proper name was Yahweh. And I said, well, I think really it just has to do with tradition and the fact that not many people are familiar with it, that the modern translations didn't start using it until recently, and just a few of them do. But it gave me an opportunity to go back and maybe they'll get to hear this at some point and get a little more detail on it. But give me an opportunity to go back and look at some material and hopefully refresh everybody's understanding. But it does bring up an issue that we maybe haven't faced as much here in the West until more recently, because in our Christianized culture, if you say God, everybody kind of knows that you are you're talking about the Christian notion of God. That just kind of goes without saying. If we say God or Lord or something more colorful, everybody kind of knows what you're talking about. And even unbelievers will have some notion of what you mean, whether they agree with it or not. But increasingly, that's not as much the case as it used to be. Because we have an influx of people who have known different gods, where they come from, and don't know the true God. If you talk about God to a Muslim, they're going to think about Allah. And Allah, I believe in Arabic, if I remember what I was told correctly, is just the word for God. If you speak to a Hindu about God, I have a Hindu friend who once told me that when he went to the temple, he prayed to God. Well, which one? There's about 1,000 of them you can pick from. So maybe it's helpful for us in this day and age to be a little bit more specific. And when I'm talking to an audience where I think there may be some question of what I mean when I say God, then I may go ahead and use his name, Yahweh, or at least Jesus, so that people are, so that there's no question. Names, as we know, have meanings. And we don't really think about that so much anymore. We name somebody just because we like the sound of it, or sometimes it's after a relative or maybe somebody that we admire. But most of us are not choosing the name. I know some who do, but most people aren't choosing names by what it means. But that used to be the general practice back in the beginning, is that the name had a significance either to the circumstance of the birth or to the hopes of the parents for the child, or some other a lot of the Hebrew names had something to do with God. In fact, you'll see the roots of Yahweh in a lot of those names. So Moses, in this incident of the burning bush, might have been asking a little bit more than we think about when we ask somebody their name. We just want to know, what do I call you? But Moses may have been asking a little bit more than that. Who are you? He was raised by an Egyptian, raised in an Egyptian culture. He had some knowledge of his upbringing, and of course, the reason why he's out there in the first place is because he decided to side with his people and killed an Egyptian and had to leave the country. But God's answer to this question is both simple and most profound. Because when Moses asked him, and let's go ahead and read, rather than me trying to repeat exactly repeat the story we're just about to read, we're just going to start in Exodus chapter 3. Verses 13 through 15 is all I'm going to read. I'm reading out of the Legacy Standard Bible because it's important here to have the translation. Then Moses said to God, "Behold, I am about to come to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' And they will say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" And God furthermore said to Moses, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, "Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial name from generation to generation." Why is it then, if this is God's name, that we don't have it in most of our Bibles? Most translations, you'll see some of the older translations, you might see Jehovah. And we've heard that a lot of us have grown up hearing the word Jehovah. It's another way that they've tried to translate this original Hebrew word that maybe is not quite as close to the reality as it could be. Or you might see Lord with capital LORD. But everywhere you see that in a Bible translation, it's the original was Yahweh. The variations that you see come from the fact that the original manuscripts, the Hebrew scribes who copied the Old Testament, were very respectful of the name of God. They didn't want to ever be thought to take the Lord's name in vain. And so they don't ever say it, and they don't even like to write it. Even today, if you read modern writings written by some Jews, they won't even write the word God. You'll see G*D. So you had a couple things going on here. For one thing, if you were able to hear the little song, there's no vowels in Hebrew, and so you actually what the word is written just if you use our consonants, YHWH, And the vowel, they added little markings to indicate the how it was supposed to be pronounced. The vowel markings were added. Well, one of the things they would do is that they would add, when they would write it, they would put vowel markings to remind you not to say it, but to say Adonai instead. And so that led to some of the confusion that we have here. And finally, the Septuagint was written. It was the Greek, was it a Greek translation of the Hebrew scriptures that existed a few hundred years before Jesus' time. It's the translation that the apostles often quoted from, that Jesus himself may have actually quoted from. And that is the same text that the King James Bible was taken from. And they held this tradition about how to use, about using the name. That's why if you read one of these new translations that has a quote in it, and you look at the original, it says Yahweh. You look in the New Testament, it says Lord. Well, how come it's not translated the same? Because they're working from this Septuagint. Now, what does that tell us? One thing that tells us, and I'm getting ahead of myself. Maybe I need to just stick to my notes so I don't get totally lost. But one of the things that ought to tell us is that, you know, this is important because everything about Scripture is important. But it's maybe not a hill to die on. It's maybe not something we need to make a big deal and get upset with people over. If the apostles didn't mind writing it, Lord, and didn't make a big deal over the fact that it wasn't Yahweh, maybe we shouldn't either. But anyway, back to the text. Moses is asking this question: who do I say? Who do I say has told me? Who are you? As I mentioned, he might not know a lot because he was raised in the Egyptian culture, but he's also might be asking, which God are you? Idolatry was common after all, and he needs to identify that this is in fact Yahweh. Or of course, he doesn't know him yet as Yahweh. This is in fact the God that he is speaking to. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he'd come out of a culture where there were lots of gods. But God's answer, I am. Now, and it's from the verb, it's from the verb to be, Hebrew verb. And I have to ask myself, well, how else will you describe Almighty God? There are scriptures that tell us that God is love, but God is more than that. And even if that was all he was, there's no way we could comprehend it all. And actually, I think I'm gonna get off the track again if I'm not careful. But God is love. Okay, that's great. But what does that mean? His love is certainly beyond our ability to comprehend. Just the fact that Jesus died on the cross tells us that. God is often portrayed as a judge, but he's also merciful. We talked about that today in Sunday school. Do we describe his personality? How are you going to do that? There is none like him. There's no one to whom he can be matched. Do we speak of his immensity? Again, where are you going to find words to contain the infinite? He simply is. Are you going to talk about his glory? No one can see his glory and live, he said. We want to talk about his holiness. Certainly, he's the very definition of holiness. But the only holiness we can know is that that Jesus gave us. He says, I am who I am. There's nobody like me. There's nothing else you can compare me to. I am. He defines all that is created. Like John 1:3 says, he is the standard by which all else is measured. He defines justice. He defines what is good and what is evil. We should not presume then on our own accord to know better than him what they are. So where do we think we got the concept of justice? We corrupted it, but he gave it to us. Nothing exists that he does not permit. And nothing is done or even imagined that he does not see. He says, this is my name. This is my memorial name forever. His name and his nature will never change. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. That's why I think we're destined as his children to be involved in creative ventures after this chapter has closed. And why we'll be involved in the next big thing that God does. I can't imagine what that's going to be, but I'm not him. But his name, he said, is to be known from generation to generation, and so it is. It was written all through the Old Testament. I did a search on the word Yahweh in the Legacy Standard Bible that I use. It appears 5,846 times. Before Moses, the name was used, and that kind of threw me for at first. I thought, well, wait a minute. But it was Moses who wrote those first five books of the Bible. So, of course, he knew the name and would have used it in the telling. Moses certainly would have known it and written it down. Now, what's interesting is that there does appear to be one place where Yahweh spoke his name to Abraham. In Genesis 15:7, you find that. But Abraham must not have understood it that way, because God will later say in Exodus chapter 6, I am Yahweh. And I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, Yahweh, I was not known to them. Exodus 6:3. But his name was freely spoken. That tradition that developed later didn't exist during the time that all this was going on. Everybody knew his name. It was freely used by Moses, who wrote the commandment, "You shall not take the Lord's name in vain." It was used extensively by David, King David, as he wrote the Psalms, and that's a great place to great thing to read out of one of these translations that uses his name. It adds some beauty and depth to the Psalms, but it was even known by God, by his enemies, by Israel's enemies. It was given to Pharaoh in Exodus chapter 5. It was known by the Gibeonites who came and deceived Joshua in Joshua chapter 9. It was known by the king of Assyria. When he came against Hezekiah, Yahweh's name was known far and wide as the God of Israel. And it was known, even after they had gone, as 2 Chronicles 7:21-23 says, that when you have been judged and when you're no longer in the land, people are going to say it's because they didn't do what Yahweh said. I'm shortening that considerably, but because they rejected him. So what happened? What happened in our New Testament? How come all of a sudden his name's not here? The name seems to have disappeared. Even the quotes don't have it. We talked about that and why that is. And that's why we shouldn't, you know, get too out of sorts that people don't know it or people don't use it. Of greater importance, though, is its meaning. We've talked about that. But it didn't really go anywhere. It was given to another. And there is salvation by no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that is given among people by which we must be saved. That's from Acts chapter 4, verse 12. And of course, we're talking about the name of Jesus. Now, Jesus is a Greek variation of the Hebrew name. A lot of the Messianic, you'll see Yeshua, or it might be more properly pronounced Yahshua. But it means Yahweh saves, or Yahweh is salvation. See, the name didn't go anywhere. The name lives on. And it is still by that name that we're saved. Because it was given to his son Jesus. And this is the power. This is the power in Jesus' statements. You remember, we studied the book of John. And I'll just highlight some instances. Now, only in one of them is it written out in your modern translations as I am. But as you read the, look into the underlying text, you find out he said it more than once. Of course, there are several I am statements. You can do a whole study on the I am statements in the book of John. But I'm just going to point out a couple of really powerful things. You remember how they're out on the storm. They're trying to get across the lake in the boat. A big storm comes up. Jesus comes walking to them on the water. You all remember that story, I'm sure. But when they cry out, when they're afraid because they see him, they think he's a ghost. He said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Well, what he actually said there is, "I am, do not be afraid." John chapter 8, verse 24. He says, "Unless you believe that I am he," well, that he is added, "unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins." And then finally, in just a few verses later in chapter 8, as they are confronting him and belittling him, and they said, you know, he says something about Abraham delighting to see his day, and they say, "Ha, you're not even 50, you're telling me you've seen Abraham?" And he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." And they knew exactly what he was saying. They tried to stone him right there. And we now are saved by that name. What's in a name? Permanence. Or what's in that name? Permanence. He cannot be dethroned. He will never change. Oh, take comfort in that. Know that he's good, and that is never going to change. He can always be trusted. He can't always be trusted to do what you think he ought to do, but he can always be trusted to have your good in mind. Completeness. Nothing can be added to him. Nothing can be taken away. He defines reality. And Jesus, Yeshua, bridges that gap between us and our infinite God who loves us so much. I am in human form, giving himself for us. So yeah, know his name, share it far and wide. It doesn't matter so much. Go around the world, you'll hear it pronounced many different ways. The letters that are used, the words that are used to express it are going to vary from time and place to place. But the significance of the name is not the way you express it. The significance of the name is the power in it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you gave us your name, that you have made us part of your family. We've been adopted in. We've been brought in. Lord, I pray that anyone who can't say that today, who might hear this online or wherever they are, would take this opportunity to say, yes, Lord, I believe. I believe that you are who you said you are. I believe that Jesus died on a cross for my sins and rose again the third day. I confess I'm a sinner and I invite you to become my Lord. That said with a willing heart is all it takes. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you have done for us. In your mighty name, we are able to pray. Amen.
I said, don't worry about it.